The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
At the theater, more than the movies come to life. Movie lovers march in and skip the line with digital tickets to the latest movies on the free Fandango app. Ready to grab some snacks.
Pick me!
And head to the best seats in the house for a night of romance, terror, and quality family screen time. Visit Fandango.com or download the app today for your ticket to the movies.
And this is where the AMA comes in. This is Ask Me Anything. And so sometimes it's uncomfortable.
Not for me. Nothing's uncomfortable for me. It doesn't. But once you throw an interception or a pick six in front of 70,000 people, there's very few things that can embarrass me or make me feel uncomfortable.
Yes. I don't know. Ask Me Anything. I'm sure there's going to be something that pops up today that's going to make me feel uncomfortable.
Hopefully.
However, I know plenty of things that make you uncomfortable already.
Well, what is that? Although that you say nothing makes you uncomfortable,
yeah.
You were uncomfortable in that show.
Yeah, I was uncomfortable in that show.
Yeah, because that was the F Mary Kill show.
And that was one of the moments. You're right. I mean, F Mary Kill was not easy. Definitely. Yes, and then you saying the F word uncomfortable.
That makes me uncomfortable. Talking about
ladies or women has gotten you uncomfortable.
No, that hasn't gotten me uncomfortable.
I don't know. I think I had one moment where I talked about college woman compared to NFL women.
Yeah, that
and all my friends were really mad at you because you didn't ask the proper follow-ups.
What was the?
They wanted to know more juicy details of things.
You're
too good of a human being to do that.
I got uncomfortable. I did get uncomfortable.
All right.
So we got an AMA again. It's an all AMA podcast.
Yeah, good.
Because we like to do it from time to time because Like your friends are at home streaming at their phone or their computer because I didn't ask the question in the right time. So now you have no excuses. Now we have
two pages of
questions to get your take on. And these are not just football takes.
Good. I mean, there's not that much football going on. It's July, so we're here to answer hopefully some football and let you in on the personal life and all those things.
We want to get to know Chris, the person.
Oh, great.
Away from this microphone.
Cool.
And away from the computer and the mugs, what you're really like.
Yep. All right. So
the first one though is a football question.
All right.
Well, so we won't do that yet.
Okay. Cool. Are we doing the promote?
You want to do that now? Let's do that now
Did I not listen to the directions? Or are we supposed to do that at the end?
Sure, we can do it. It's always good. It's always good to promote throughout.
The only thing I just wanted to let the listeners know is the fact that we're going to change the schedule going forward here. It's going to be a little bit of a few week hiatus to where we won't be back and making a pod or doing anything like that or in the normal routine probably to the end of July again.
Okay. We will have podcasts
out once a week, probably maybe two, depending on what happens here. They're going to be different. And I'm going to Lake Tahoe
for the
NBC Celebrity Golf Tournament.
Have you been before?
I've been when I was the son of Phil Sims. I'm still the son of Phil Sims, but he was actually a quarterback at those times playing in the tournament. And I was there as a little kid, but haven't been back since. But that's going to be cool. NBC, of course, is televising it. We're going to have, a lot of access to a lot of NFL football players and other athletes. So those are things
Aaron
to look
Rodgers
forward.
Goes like every year.
I know. I'm hoping he's there. I mean, he would be target number one
for me.
When's
the last time you talked to Aaron?
I've only talked to Aaron Rodgers one time in my life for about 1 minute before the Pittsburgh Steelers Monday Night Football game a few years ago. He is still coming off the broken collarbone issue. Yeah. And he was out there throwing like kind of his first footballs of the rehab process. And I got a chance to talk to him then, and that was it. But it was a cool moment, and I certainly would like to
What'd you say to him?
I didn't say much. I mean, I was just like, hey, man, what's up? How you doing? It was kind of one of those conversations.
You wasted it, kind of.
There was bigger time people around than me. He didn't want to waste his time with me. I think that's really more the accurate description. But we got that coming on. Yeah. You'll see podcasts once, twice a week over the next few weeks. And we're definitely going to put plenty of content out on Instagram, the YouTube page, and everything like that.
Yep. So all that is all that's coming up on this podcast. We got more stuff to promote. We'll do that later. Let's get to the Ask Me Anything.
Yeah, let's do it.
We'll start with a football question. The first one is Drew Kolb. And he says, if you're a defensive coordinator, how do you stop Patrick Mahomes? And what is technically defined as stopping him?
That's the real question. What is, like, stopping him? I mean, stopping him is probably what the Patriots did in the AFC Championship game, which was they made him inconsistent. And they ran a defense that no team has ever run that defense in the history of the NFL. You know, that's just something special we talk about. Yeah, I mean, they played man-to-man and doubled Tyreek Hill every play of the game. Had one safety in the middle of the field to make you think it was a single safety defense, and they instead didn't really let him play like center field. He doubled Tyreek Hill with the underneath guy every play. And that was a scheme that was unlike any other. So I think that's some of the things you're going to have to see. You're going to have to throw some curveballs at Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. I think, dude, the biggest thing for me and the teams that had success, whether it was the Chargers in the second game, the Patriots, even the Ravens in the regular season a little bit slowed it down to a degree. One, I still think he's at the point of his career where make him prove he'll take the short to intermediate pass route. He's still probably a little overly aggressive. Andy Reid calls aggressive plays. But we saw from those, especially the Chargers the second time around, they just backed people up. And we're like, I don't think Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes will have the patience to keep checking it down and throw the short route. And what happened is they were right. So I think that would be one thing. And then I think the other thing people are going to look at, and I know New England got into this last year, is the scrambling. The scrambling and his tendencies. And the big thing is his scrambling and running to the right. When you look at the stats and you break it down that way, his plays and the things he did, and if you just think back in your mind about the highlight plays from last year, you start to go, oh, yeah, you're right. A lot of them happened to him running to the right. And I think that's another aspect you'll see teams try to take away, at least to slow down.
Yeah. And what you saw from him last year, you feel like, because, yeah, that's how you slow him down, but he also has room to grow.
What a, without a doubt.
He can get better.
He left plays and yards on the field with maybe being a little inexperienced in a certain situation or maybe just relying on his arm and not having his body or his feet in the right position to hit, like, oh, there's Sammy Watkins open for a 60-yard touchdown. Oh, and he missed him. And we go, oh, so what? You know, they'll get another shot in a few plays with Patrick Mahomes. Or they punted it away, and then the next series they go down and score. But, yeah, I don't think he capitalized on all that was there to be had. And that's what's scary about Patrick Mahomes. I mean, yeah, I mean, we could be talking about certainly 5,000 yards and 55-something touchdowns all over again.
Yeah, can continue to get better.
Yeah.
Mike likes dirt.
Ooh.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, I know, Mike. Dirt's dirty.
My daughter likes dirt.
Does she?
She's three.
Right.
My son didn't eat it. My daughter eats it.
Eats it?
Yep.
Like, and gives it a true chew and, like, swallows it down, huh?
Yeah.
Damn, my dog is doing the same thing. Sorry to make that.
I mean, we're trying to get her to stop, but she has toned it down a little bit. But
toned it down? She was a little addicted. It sounds like she is addicted to it here.
And then a week ago, I got a video from my wife. My dog, or my son ate a dog treat.
Oh.
And he was very proud of that.
Wow, that is impressive.
What's wrong with my family?
I couldn't do that. I don't know. It starts with the father, so I don't know. It's a broad question.
I'm as clean as a whistle. I don't know where they're getting that from.
Lots of minerals in dirt, though.
That is true.
She's getting that.
Immunity is being built up.
Strong.
Hypothetically, if Rodgers struggles in the LeFleur system or rebels against it, what does that do to his quarterback ranking? You said a couple weeks ago that Stafford has a challenge not playing backyard ball, and that's part of his regression.
Right.
Oh,
yeah. It'll make me think differently of Aaron Rodgers if he can't make the LeFleur system and, you know, style of play work. Certainly. You know, again, I got no, like, personal, like, horse in this race. I'm not like, oh gosh, I'm going to defend Aaron Rodgers no matter what. No, he plays like crap, and I certainly would knock him down rankings or all-time rankings or whatever it may be. I don't expect that to happen, but yeah, I think it, you know, if he goes here and shows that, okay, man, he's not coachable once again, at least that's the perception about him with Mike McCarthy.
Yeah.
He's a little bit of a renegade, and those are the people who don't like Aaron Rodgers. They always say that thing.
He battled with coaches.
He battled McCarthy, certainly, especially the last few years. I mean, I don't think there's any way to deny that, but if he's battling with LeFleur again and then, you know, changing the offense and the way that LeFleur and Nate Hackett think, ooh, this is the game plan, and Aaron Rodgers is toying with it or messing it up on a weekly basis, that'll bother me, and that's not always best quarterback play.
How would you think it's going to play out, though? Because what we've heard so far is Aaron Rodgers wants more options. You get LaFleur, you get option A, option B at the line, pick one. Aaron's like, I want five options. They both want to win.
Yes,
and they both want to have the best year offensively that they can have, and so it seems unlikely that they wouldn't be able to make it work. What would be, how would it not work eventually between this Aaron's steadfast on this that ends up being a worse way of doing it?
I mean, if both sides just draw a line in the sand and they go, no, I don't do that, you know, and then you're going to have a disaster. I think the encouraging thing is they're actually having the conversation, right?
Yeah.
And they're having it publicly. Like, they don't care. I mean, Mike Silver came to town, the head coach addressed it, then Aaron Rodgers addressed it. They're just going to have to discuss, and what they're in the process of doing is just figuring out where that line is, okay, to where it is to where, hey, I believe in my offense, I'm Matt LaFleur, and this offense has been very successful in the NFL, and also going, okay, I know it's been successful, but so is this damn quarterback I got, and he's been playing at an MVP level for like the last 9 years straight. So I got to have some give and take with him there too, because he's going to help me in my offense and get 100%. Me out of jail in some tough times where my offense might not be, you know, acting or performing accordingly to what I thought my game plan was going to be. So I really think it can be cohesive that way. I will be shocked if this doesn't work. I really will be, because I think this is going to be certainly an improvement from what I thought was an elementary system. Anybody that's listened to me for years with Mike McCarthy is just, it's Rodgers. He was the system. It's please help us, Aaron.
Yeah.
And if you don't, then we're in trouble. And I just look at LaFleur and go, you know, from the Shanahan McVay school, right, they're going to be able to run the football. There's going to be some really creative play action passes to go with it. There's going to be some new drop back passes that go in it that Rodgers hasn't, you know, had a lot of detail or knowledge of in years past, and now he's going to get to execute those. And then I hope on top of that he can add, hey, Aaron, when we get in third down and we're in this formation, you know, I like those two or three plays I've heard you check to in practice.
Right.
I'll get, you know, those are good. Those are live. If you want to change them on third and six or more, then go ahead. It's your show. I like this play. You know why I'm calling it. But if we don't get what I've taught you, what I thought we were going to get all week, then you go ahead and get to Aaron Rodgersville and get us out of jail and make something happen.
Best case scenario is that they both take a little bit of what they do best.
Exactly.
You take a little bit of what LaFleur does best. You add it with what Aaron does best, and you got something better.
No doubt.
You combine the two. Jared Heatley, staying on the quarterback theme here. If you're a quarterback, let's do Ryan LaPointe. LaPointe, would you agree that Stafford was unrightfully attacked early in his career, Matt Stafford, for not being consistent with his throwing motion, the sidearm throwing, and now quarterbacks are praised for being able to do things a little unorthodox when necessary?
Yes.
That's an interesting point.
It is. I think Stafford has been unfairly criticized really for the majority of his career. I would say
a Stafford defender.
I am. And last year was the worst year of his career, and I'm not defending last year. He's got to play better this year. You've heard me talk about the culture shock and how they changed their style of play, and I don't think he adjusted to it very well. But for whatever reason, and again, we're in this, you know, I fought this with my quarterback rankings and everything. We're in this the quarterback's the only guy on the team. You know, we win because of the quarterback, and if we lost, it's because of the quarterback. And I just think that's certainly been true with Matthew Stafford, other than Ndamukong Suh, you can't name a defensive player that's been up in Detroit throughout his career. They certainly haven't had any special defenses, I can tell you that. Okay, they had Ezekiel Ansah, right, who's, you know, had really
but
1 or 2
here and there
years.
Some good players, but they oftentimes...
Defense has stunk. The run game has been non-existent.
They're down 21-0 basically every game.
Every game. So it's been that way, and he's had to play a little backyard style of football. And, yes, I think some people... when he would miss a throw, if he didn't throw the ball or he wasn't so loose with his arm, he'd complete with some of those passes. But then they don't go, when he does hit one of those, they go, a good thing he throws like that, because if he didn't throw that sidearm throw like that, he wouldn't have completed that 60-yard bomb. So you can't always take the good with the bad. But yes, now it is very popular to be able to throw with all those different angles. And I can tell you, in the quarterback world, guys like me and people who are in the weeds about quarterbacks, that was the thing that jumped out to me that I loved about Matthew Stafford coming out of Georgia. I was just like, whoa, The arm is big time. It's a special,
People hurt
arm.
Hurt his accuracy.
Right.
If you don't have the consistent throwing motion, you're
right. And that's just not true. He's plenty of good enough, and I think this will be a good year from Matthew Stafford. And I'm with my man there, Ryan, who he's been unfairly criticized for the majority of his career.
Jared Heatley, if you're a quarterback, is it stupid or respectable to play through an injury even if you are not in a playoff position let's say like a broken back. So that's Stafford.
Yeah,
right? Stafford had a little bit of a back
Stafford
injury.
Had his issues. I mean, we heard about Derek Carr, right? He dealt with it a little bit, right?
Were in the playoff hunt.
It's all about the position you're in as far as your position and where you feel you are maybe in the particular season as far as, man, you might have a tough stretch of games where you just go, man, I got to play. Like, you know,
what
hey,
was that like in the locker room, though? If you're on a team and you're having a bad year,
yeah,
and you got some guys who are dinged up, was there pressure to play through it, or was there pressure to say, you know what, don't try to kill yourself?
If it was a bad year and you were a marquee player, the team was definitely more of, you know, hey, it's week 14 and we're not going to the playoffs. Let's be careful with them, make sure we got them next year, right? Like, certainly that'll be the case. If you're in the midst of a playoff, you know, hunt, and it's a must-win situation, you got to play. There's no doubt about it. You know, if you got a backup quarterback who's breathing down your back and you got an injury where you go, ooh, I mean, I'm not at my best, but I can play, I mean, hey, you better play because you give that other guy a chance, he goes out and throws for 350 and three touchdowns, then your ass might be on the bench permanently, you know, for however long your contract is.
Not if that player is Ryan Fitzpatrick, because
then he'll give it back to you eventually. Yeah, yeah. But I think it is kind of indicative on the situation itself, where the team is that particular season, where you are as far as, you know, your organizational hierarchy at the quarterback position.
Stability.
I think you gotta take all that into account.
Interesting. This is from Marcus Brundage. Sims, give me your dream coaching staff. I like this one.
Wow.
Can be past or present to current coaches, head coach, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, etc. So let's start with your special teams coach. You could if you want.
You're right, I could.
How do you want to start a head coach? You want to start with your... You got head coach.
Yep.
OC,
all right. Well, I mean,
DC.
Head coach. Listen, I'm going with Bill Belichick. I mean, that's too obvious for me.
But why? I mean, he's great.
He is great. He can coach the offense and defensive side of the ball. He is great at knowing his own team's strengths and weaknesses. He is magical at picking out another team's weaknesses. Maybe not even with schemes. Sometimes a roster weakness where he goes, ooh. They're not very good when they have to put a fourth corner on the field. Oh, okay, well, we're going to play a whole game where all four of these corners are on the field. Like, that's the thing where he's genius. It's not always just about the exact X's and O's, but he can give you themes of a game and go, no, we have to worry about, hey, offensive staff, we got to worry about this, and defensive staff, we got to worry about that. You guys come up with the game plan, but these are the things that are really concerning me, and you better have something to stop that or make that better or whatever it may be. So that's why I would give him the advantage there. Man, offensive coordinator. Hey, I'm going to go with, like, Sean Payton, I think, right off the bat. I'm just thinking of right here. You know, I'm not going too deep into the all-time vault.
Yeah.
But Sean Payton might be there for my all-time vault, too. I mean, hey, not only all the ways he comes up with creative pass game schemes, too. I think Sean Payton, the thing he doesn't get enough credit for is his ability to coach the run game, stay consistent with the run game. You know, they've never gotten away from that in New Orleans. So, yeah, he would be a guy that I think I would have in that conversation.
And the fact that you've picked two coaches now, Sean Payton and Bill Belichick, who have won with quarterbacks who are barely in the top 10 of your...
You had to bring that up, huh? You had to go there.
I mean, so they've been able to persevere to get there.
Thank you so much.
I just wanted to keep that going.
Good. Yeah, just give me another month or so of having to defend that and deal with that.
No, but I like that. You know, Sean Payton, just what he's been able to do with Drew Brees,
right,
obviously, and Bill Belichick. I mean, that's obvious. Defensive coordinator, though, this is where it gets a little more difficult.
I know. I mean...
You could go back in the past. You know, we're both about the same age, but
I think Buddy, Buddy Ryan. I know. I almost wanted to make two different lists and going like one current one and then one like old timer one, right?
Yeah.
I'm gonna
old timer one. Bill Walsh would maybe be.
That's where I was gonna go with right. Right. So if I had to do a current one right now, I got Belichick, Sean Payton, right?
Yeah.
My defensive guy. Ooh. I mean, am I allowed to pick another defensive coach? I mean, another. I can't
head
pick
coach.
Pete Carroll, can I?
Yeah.
You think so? Does that work as a coordinator?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I guess I just did with Sean Payton, so what am I even asking myself about, you idiot?
Pete Carroll.
Pete Carroll, yeah.
How do they all coexist?
Ooh, that's some personalities there, I guess.
If Bill tells Sean he's got to do something, Sean doesn't want to do it.
I know, or good luck talking to Pete either.
He's
going to yell at Bill and chewing his gum and running around going, let's get energy, and Bill's going to be telling him to calm down, we're not that kind of team.
And then that would be the HBO Hard Knocks.
That would be the HBO Hard Knocks. Yes, I think if I had to do all time, Belichick is still my head coach, okay? I am going to go with Bill Walsh as the OC. Okay, I like you there. And then I think I would do, I think I might go Buddy Ryan, D coordinator. I might. There's some really good ones out there as far as D coordinator, defensive coaches. I mean, of course, I'm thinking of some of the Steelers from the 70s who I can't even think of there. 80s defenses, gosh, I mean, yeah, I think so. I mean, Buddy Ryan, that Bears defense, that Eagles defense, I'm going to go with him.
And then when Buddy gets into a fight with Bill Walsh, who wins? Then?
Oh, Buddy. Yeah. Buddy, I think Buddy, yeah.
So you go Bill Belichick over Vince Lombardi.
I know, that's really stinks.
Why does that stink?
Because I hate saying that about, yes, I do. I think Bill Belichick is the greatest coach in American sports history. I don't give a damn what the sport is. All I know is in the one sport he coaches in, they've tried to make it as equal as possible for everybody, and he's made it as unequal as possible for any other coach at any other time in any other sport, and I think that's just amazing.
That is the most amazing thing. Yeah. That, the 49ers days, that team was stacked.
They were stacked.
Cowboys
there was no salary
days,
caps.
They
were stacked too, right. They could win. They could overpay and have better players, period.
Yep, they did.
Yep.
Their bench was better than a lot of other teams starting lineups. So that was cool. That was interesting. Johnny B. Good, 57. Do you wish you had taken a redshirt year at the University of Texas and stayed an extra year to play?
Yeah, I do.
On both?
I guess I guess they're just assuming that I redshirt and then I got that extra year to come back after that, right, and come back. Yes, I do. You know, it's hard to say it at the time because you're in it and you want to play. And, of course, I was 19 and I thought I knew everything. I'm a grown man, Dad. I want to go to Texas. I might play as a freshman. You know, and that was one of the reasons I really switched from Tennessee to Texas, because Tennessee, I knew I was going to have to redshirt. And it was really bothering me because T. Martin was going into his senior year. And, of course, they had just won the national championship. So he was going to be the quarterback. And I was really, like, unsettled by that.
Did Philip Fulmer, he was the coach at the time?
Yes, he did.
Did he tell you will be redshirting?
You know what? They didn't tell me, but I feel like that was the plan, really. Kind of we had, come up lightly in conversation. I think that was really the plan.
It was kind of obvious.
Right. And then Texas, I knew there was a chance they were going to let me compete with Major Applewhite from the get-go. And that was enticing to me. But yes, I wish that, I've even said this to my dad, I wish my dad would gotten in my ear. My dad was awesome because he let me be me and make my decisions. But that was one of those where I wish he would have been like, hey, Christopher, I'm just telling you, it'd be a good thing. Redshirt, you get a little older, you get a little mature, you get smarter, and then you take over and you'll be ready.
Yeah.
And, and just all those things. I wish he would have said that to me. But it's very hard when you're in the moment.
It's hard either way, too, because sometimes, how much can you hear it a lot of times in the NFL where it's like, oh, you're going to draft a quarterback, he's going to stand on the sidelines, he's going to learn.
Right.
It's like, okay, how much can you really learn, though?
Yes.
How much progress do you make? Because sometimes, even if you struggle, it's better just to be thrown into the fire. You learn so much more that way than just by watching it and observing it.
Agreed with that.
Maybe for you, it's such a big transition. You go into college, you got to get that all, you wrap your head around that, and then you can move on to football. But I do think there's something to be said about starting before you're even ready.
I do. There's nothing that can get you prepared at quarterback more than just playing. Yeah, you said it. I mean, yes, because there's practice can't. It's the one position in all of sports that really practice can't emulate it. Yeah, okay, yeah, we get some useful things out of practice, but unlike other positions in football or other sports in general, quarterback is impossible to practice because they're not live. You know you're not going to get hit.
Right.
A lot of the times, the defense is set up to do certain things to make sure the offensive play works and executes the right way. And the defense in practice and a lot of those times is it's a scout team and they're just reading a card and the card says take 3 steps this way. So, you get into a game and all of a sudden fans are yelling and you go, holy crap, I can't even hear myself and neither can my right guard can't hear me.
The defense wasn't supposed to do that.
Yeah, right. And they're really trying to hit me hard now. Like, they're really trying to hit me. I don't like this.
Where's my red jersey?
And nothing can get you prepared for that other than that and just being out there.
Keep it in Austin. 512.com.
Yeah.
Favorite restaurant.
512 is the area code down there.
Oh, five, the 512.
Yeah. Yeah.
So here it is.
Yeah.
So he's living down there. Favorite restaurants and bars when you went to school here in Austin?
Gosh, they've all changed. I mean, the restaurants... gosh, there's the place, the lake place. There was a place on the lake, and I want to say Jake on the Lake. It was great, like, outside, have a margarita, eat some food outside on the lake with great, just a great setting, okay. Salt Lick, okay. Out in the countryside, Salt Lick's the best barbecue I've ever had in my life.
Really?
Yes, it's about 25 minutes outside of Austin. There's actually a place in the airport, and I've told this before, but pre-9/11, I used to drive to the airport and just go through security because it was closer than the actual restaurant, and my friends and I would just go to the airport and eat Salt Lick and the barbecue briskets. Is it Jake on the Lake? Are you looking
Jake's
at
Jake's on the Lake.
Something on the Lake I'm in Austin?
I'm looking on Yelp right now. There is a Jake's on the Lake.
Is there a Jake? And it's on Lake Austin? No? Maybe they changed
it. No, it's in California.
I got
California.
Somebody. Oh, that's good job. Abel's. There's something called Abel's on the Lake.
There is Abel's. There's the Oasis on Lake Travis.
Oh, that could be. I know that. Yes, I know that. That's another great spot. Okay, so that's certainly good. I was always a fan of Texas Land and Cattle. All right. That was just, it's a chain barbecue place, but a big fan of that.
Yeah.
There was Easy's. Okay. Easy's was like a 50s diner type of like feel in it. Awesome food. Okay. That was another go-to.
When you would go out.
How the Red River Cafe was my breakfast spot.
So you would go out with your teammates.
Yeah.
And you're, you know, normally the quarterback pays but in the NFL, but you're not in the NFL. You're
no.
in college. So
no.
how does that
but
work?
When your dad was the quarterback in the NFL, they still expect you to pay. So they go, hey,
so that's what
you can pay, right, Chris? And they, yes, that was truly. Yeah, I was expected to pay in a lot of those situations. More times than not, I would let it be known before we even went out just to take the pressure off everybody. Because I might go, hey, we're going to go get some food. And guys, like, sometimes might be like, they want to go, but they go, oh, I'm not going to be able to pay. So, I know, you guys go ahead. And I'd be like, no, man, I got you. It's okay. Because, yeah, I recognize that I was fortunate to have money in my pocket. And I had a cool mom who would, like, send down FedEx of, like, cash, like, behind my dad's back.
Oh,
and be like, yeah, and, like, you know, I'd be like, hey, here's some cash for you. I thought you might like it. That's my mom's voice. Be like that. So, I definitely tried to do that.
And when you guys would go out, you were rock stars, right?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Nothing like being the football team and going out to the bars as the especially the starting quarterback.
Well, especially in the state of Texas, where you've heard all the stories about how much they love football there to begin with, and then it's the University of Texas. And, yes, it was ridiculous. I got treated like a Kyle Shanahan. He had just transferred from Duke. We go out one night on 6th Street, right? One of our places is The Drink, okay? That was our go-to spot. And he's there. He's coming from Duke, right, which is, like, not exactly like they love their football there as compared to their basketball.
Yeah.
And he's in amazement of, like, the people in general. But we're sitting next to each other, and he's like, dude, it's like, no disrespect, but these people treat you like you're John Elway. And I was like, I know, it's crazy, right? I haven't done shit. And they're like, but yeah, that was part of it. It was a great experience. It's a great school.
Such an amazing city. I've been there just one time.
It's a cool city, right?
It seems really, really cool.
It is.
And then you go to the pros and you're like, where's all the people? How come no one's coming up to me as much? I mean, it was probably still happening to you in Tampa, but maybe not as much.
Maybe not as rabid.
Yeah.
Okay. And maybe, you know, maybe less, you know, Austin, they love their football so much too. If you lost, I certainly heard those people too who are like, hey, Sims, you suck.
Or you heard, they would yell that?
Oh, definitely. Or call me a Yankee. That was a big thing that I got called a lot.
Oh.
There was a definite anger by some group of people there that I was a Yankee and I was the quarterback of the team. But whatever. I didn't give a shit about those people either way. Tampa, yeah. It wasn't quite the same. Tampa loves its football team and it's a smaller city.
That's true.
And certainly would go into places and people would, you know, recognize you in that way too. But yeah, maybe not to the extent of Austin, Texas.
That's true. And you saw that a lot when I was working in the Bay Area with players that would come there that were playing at other places. Evander Kane was a hockey player who played in Ottawa.
Right. I remember Kane. I remember him.
And he came over and he was like, it's crazy. You just blend in.
Yeah.
Because you got the Warriors. You got the 49ers.
Right.
You got the Raiders right there.
Right.
You got the San Francisco Giants. And, yeah, when you're in those big, big cities, you blend in even more.
No doubt. You can. Yeah, and, like, yeah, like, you know, yeah, New York City. you know, I could go out to dinner with Brandon Marshall, who's, you know, of course, this handsome, you know, huge wide receiver, broad shoulders, muscles, you know, million-dollar smile, all those things. Like, you go out to dinner with him, and I think I see people, and I think they recognize him, but they're also like, Derek Jeter was here the other day. Brad Pitt was here the other day. You're not that big of a deal.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. I'm going to meet them. Moritz Burr says, will the Browns implode if they lose a couple games in a row, especially with these high expectations, a first-year head coach, and some players who could be difficult?
Sure.
Greetings from Germany.
Hello.
Peace sign. That's what Morbitzer says. So what do we think about the Browns? A lot of people positive about them.
Yeah.
I think they're the favorite to win the division, according to the Caesars.
I think you're right. I think they are the favorite.
But they're the Browns.
They are the Browns.
So what if they do get off to a slow start?
I don't think they're going to implode. Like, I don't think we're going to see, like, oh, we were expecting 8-8 or 9-7 and 10-6, and they went 3-13 or 4-12. Like, I don't see that happening one bit. Now, can I see them, okay, maybe struggling early on in the year and then maybe not quite meeting expectations and having just maybe all of a sudden they, let's just say it's Titans, Jets, Rams, Ravens, right? Let's just say they go 1-3 somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it'll be like they're going to have to battle and get an ugly 7-9 and 8-8 that way. But I do think they are over the implosion of we're going to be so freaking bad now, we're going to have a top five pick. No, I just think, first of all, I think a lot of Freddie Kitchens like the, you know, the fact that the head coach Steve Wilks from the Arizona Cardinals, the D coordinator, you know, with those guys, their leadership, Baker Mayfield, his competitive nature and leadership style. Yeah, I just don't see implosion in their DNA.
You think Odell's bad for a locker room?
I don't. I really don't. And you know, again, I'll say this for the millionth time with Odell Beckham Jr. Cannot find a teammate, and you've never heard a teammate come out and say one bad thing about him. And anybody I've talked to here in New York,
have you talked to Eli?
No, Eli probably would have some, you know, some things probably to say about him, certainly. But he was one of the most loved guys in the Giants locker room, and I don't think he's going to be a problem in Cleveland, especially because I think they're going to have a focus and they have a quarterback that's really wanting to make Odell feel comfortable and make him feel like he is the biggest part of that offense.
Bam Finson. As we continue with our Ask Me Anything, it hasn't gotten uncomfortable.
It hasn't.
I want there to be like an uncomfortable moment.
I do too, because I like to watch you get uncomfortable.
Want to hear what you think the best Hall of Fame snubs are. So who are the greatest players who are not Hall of Famers? Zach Thomas, Edgerrin James, Simeon Rice come to mind. Mm. This is always hard for me because I never remember who's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I know,
who's
I know.
Not in the Hall of Fame. But
Zach Thomas certainly jumps out right off the bat, okay? That's a good one. Simeon Rice, my next teammate of mine, I certainly think he's in that conversation too. I do. You know, I mean, he was one of the best pass rushers in football for an extended period of time. And he was the best pass rusher on a team that had a Super Bowl defense, as we saw. One of the greatest defenses in the history of the sport, really. So, yeah, I do look at him as a guy that's a snub. Man, there's other snubs. I wish these are ones I wish I would have known beforehand. But you know, I look at guys like Jim Plunkett and go, man, he's won two Super Bowls, and nobody talks about him for Hall of Fame. Okay, and Super Bowls seem to be the benchmark, and here he is with two of them, and he is never talked about. So he would be a snub that jumps out to me, along with, Isaac Bruce of the St. Louis Rams back in the day. You know, that's another guy where I go, the numbers are phenomenal, the player was phenomenal. And unfortunately, he didn't have a big personality, so I think he gets lost in the shuffle there.
Right.
And, like, the huge offensive numbers that have come after him at the wide receiver position, I think, kind of screw him over as well.
In the NFL is, you know, Chad Johnson, Ocho Cinco. The NFL, it's a little different. I mean, Terrell Owens had to wait. There's a little bit more of a how well did you get along with everyone. And because Terrell Owens, on numbers alone, is a first ballot
Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I mean, I would sit here and say Terrell Owens is the third greatest receiver of all time. So, yes, he should not have waited 1 second. But, yeah, because of the way he acted and rubbed people the wrong way. And who you're going through a list of, like, all-time snubs and just seeing if anybody jumps
Jeff
out of
Saturday
you.
Saturday here, although he's – is he in now?
No,
Jeff, Saturday?
Jeff Saturday's not in.
We got – I'm looking here. Leslie O'Neal. Don Coryell, Tori Holt,
yeah.
Thomas, John Lynch, Steve
Oh, Richardson. I'll tell you another one that jumps out to Richard me that Seymour. I know. You just said it right there. You just said Richard Seymour. He'd be another guy. See, Richard Seymour, he's stuck in, I'm this huge human being, and I messed up offensive game plans for years, but there's no stat for it. So nobody can, where are the sacks? What did he do? Oh, no, he doesn't have any of those.
Right.
He just fucked people up for a living and ruined blocking schemes, pass game, run game.
Helped out his teammates.
And helped out all his teammates, right, and made other teams game plan to stop him and do that. Richard Seymour, I'm glad that you brought his name up because he is a guy that, like, without a doubt in my mind, he is one of the greatest, you know, 3-4 defensive ends in the history of football. He was an overpowering force and was scary. And I got to play against him once. And, yeah, we were mismatched there, and we were worried about our matchup against him all week long because of the size and power that he had.
Nick James, 72.
Yeah.
What players in the NFL would be better playing another position relative to theirs? Example of Kelvin Benjamin, maybe the tight end. Lamar Jackson, wide receiver. You know,
that's all right. I hear what you're saying there. That's a good one.
But yeah, are there any out there that strike you
as those kind of guys that can just cross over and you go, yep, he'll have
probably
no problem.
Not many. It's like saying in baseball, which players could be a pitcher and a hitter? It's like, well, they probably wouldn't be great at either one.
Like Michael Thomas of the Saints.
Yeah,
he's a receiver. I think of where I go, he'd make a hell of a safety. He's physical. He's tough as hell. He's smart. He's got ball skills. Like, that's a guy I'd throw out there right off my bat and just go, yeah, he's offensive. He's a receiver, so we know he's a great athlete, but he's got a different mentality than most receivers to where that physical nature comes into where, yeah, I think he could throw his body around and hit people and do that kind of thing. He kind of jumps to mind there.
You know who one would not be good with a position change is safety for Rob Gronkowski. We saw that against Miami, and that didn't go that well.
That doesn't work. No,
so
exactly
would be a
right.
Bad, that would be a bad
no,
switch.
No, that wouldn't work. I'm there with you that on that one. This is actually kind of a fun question. Hold on. I just want to see if there's anybody else that jumps out to me, because I gotta think, like, okay, like guys like Ezekiel Elliott, right?
Mm-hmm.
Leonard Fournette, and if they decided a few years ago that they wanted to play middle linebacker, I think
think they could have done.
I do, yeah. Like if they just said in high school, like, hey, coach, forget running back, I'm gonna be an NFL middle linebacker, and that's where I want to get recruited. I go, yeah, their power, their explosion, and then their willingness to deliver blows. I would look at those guys. Well, like Miles Jack, remember him from UCLA?
Yep.
Jacksonville Jaguar. He was a running back and then got moved over to middle linebacker. I could see that kind of being there. I'm trying to think if there's any like defensive ends that I can think of.
There are some that are converted in college. I remember Joe Staley at Central Michigan.
There you go.
When Brian Kelly was there,
right.
He was a tight end and then moved
they
him
said
over
put
to the
some
offensive
weight
line.
On and go be an offensive lineman. You're right. Those are some good ones. You're right. Those are usually the guys, but I don't know. Those are a few that jump out to me.
Okay. I think.
You okay with that?
Yeah, I'm good with that.
All right, good.
Quarterbacks, I feel like quarterbacks are good athletes usually. When I was growing up, I would switch between wide receiver and quarterback.
Yes.
A lot. And then at a certain point, you get to a point where you can't catch anymore because you're a quarterback, and then you have to have someone catch for you, which normally happens
as you get older. It happens more and more. Hey, but look, you said it, like Lamar Jackson is a guy I look at and go, yeah, he can play receiver. Cam Newton, do I think if he didn't play quarterback and they wanted to go play defense end?
Yeah,
play
how many
tight
positions
end?
Could Cam Newton play?
I know.
If he was developed like that before college.
I know. He could maybe
defensive end.
He could defense end, tight end. Maybe go-to big-body wide receiver like Alshon Jeffrey. I think those three right off the bat I look at and go, yeah, I think he could probably have done that.
Quarterback.
Yeah, and quarterback.
J-Mau 951 is going to take you back. What was going through your head when you rushed into the end zone against Washington during that playoff game, and did Gruden tell you anything afterwards? Take us back.
All right, so that was, playoff game. I believe we're down 17-3. We ran fake 14 blast bootleg left, right, and I was going to keep it. And John Gruden had the faith in me that I was athletic enough to get to the corner. What was going through my head? Let's see, fear was going through my head as I was running towards the goal line, the pylon. I can't remember who it was on the Redskins that was chasing me. It was number 57. He was a linebacker on that team, but I know I was concerned with him because I was going, ooh, it's me and him for a race for the pylon. And, man, it's the playoffs. And, damn, I got to get in right here. So I was really worried that I was going to have some huge collision at the goal line.
Yeah.
And as I was running there, I'm going, oh, gosh. And thank God Dan Benning, our pulling guard that was supposed to be out there in front of me, just got enough of him to where it pushed him. And he pushed him from the back to where he had to just, he was losing his balance. He kind of had to dive before he wanted to. And when I saw him dive, I said, okay, thank God. And I said, I'm going to jump over him so I don't have to hit him now.
Yeah.
And I ended up getting in the end zone and threw the ball and all that. And no, that was a special moment for me. Gruden didn't say anything special to me at that point. I mean, we were kind of down and dug ourselves in a hole, so we had some work to do.
He was like, yeah, you got to keep doing more of that.
Yeah, he was like, yeah, motherfucker, you better score next drive or we're not going to win.
Not enough.
Yeah.
Here is a battle royale.
Favorite game I ever played in, though.
That was your number one game?
Number one game. Nothing like it. NFL playoff football. You want to talk about an energy in the stadium that you could feel? When I walked in the stadium, I knew it.
Were you nervous going into it?
Yeah, I was always nervous, but I felt like at that point of the year, we had been on a good run, and I had played well. It was like a good nervous. It was like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I'm finally playing in a playoff game. Like, I remember going to my dad's playoff games, and here I am playing.
Yeah.
And that was what was really cool about it.
When you're playing and you're out on the field, do you realize that? Are you thinking, wow, every once in a while, not the whole
game. Yeah.
You're trying to.
Sometimes, yes, though. I know what you're going to ask. Yeah. Yes, definitely. I truly at times did think of that and throughout my career to where I wanted to be like, dude, you're too conscious of everything. Just shut up and listen to Gruden and worry about the defense, you know, because I'm going, hey, I hope my brother's at home watching me in the playoff game.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I hope my mom, everybody's happy with I hope I could pull this out in the fourth quarter and make them happy and do things like that. So, yeah, very conscious of that. And, you know, honestly, it's very important to try to block that kind of crap out of your mind.
Sure.
New England last year. Patrick Mahomes, when he went and played Sunday Night Football up in New England, I knew Patrick Mahomes was going to get off to a bad start of the game. And I would love if we could, like, paste this onto our podcast or a video for people to watch. I knew he was going to get off to a bad start because I knew he was not entrenched in the game. I could tell he was very aware of, oh, man, I'm on Sunday Night Football. I'm in New England. It's Belichick. It's Brady. This is big time. And you know how I knew it? Because when he got in the huddle for the first play of the game and they had the sky cam, right? He looked right at the sky cam. He was very aware that it was right there and it was shining. And he looked at it and then called the play. And when I saw that, I said, ooh, he's got, as I'm going to, the Last Samurai from, have you ever seen that? Samurai from Tom Cruise?
I've seen no movies.
Too many mind. That's what they tell him. Stop thinking about everything else. Just think about the moves, the fight, envision the fight. And there is a little bit of that to quarterback play. It's a good movie. It's one of Tom Cruise's best.
I've seen very few movies.
And I'm telling you, I'm right about that Patrick Mahomes thing. Anybody out there, go back and look at it.
Looked up at the camera.
He looked at the camera. You know, again, I don't know if
I'm
right
there. So we messed him up.
Well, I just know he was very – that to me showed that he was – like Brady, if they did the same thing to him on the first drive where he's out of his career, he would have been like, oh, there's a camera there? Great.
Yeah.
Like he would have been like, no, I'm getting my checks and I got to tell the coach this and I got to tell the right guard to remember this and da, 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 da. And he's just playing. And I felt like it was a young moment for Mahomes.
I never played in an NFL playoff game, but I did play in a wing tee offense in high school.
Right.
We had a winning conference record my senior year.
Right.
So it was pretty good. But there was one time that I can distinctly remember where I'm walking up to center, and before I get under center, the line's getting all ready, and I think, I wonder what I'm going to get from McDonald's after the game. Because that was what we would do. We'd get McDonald's after the game.
Right.
The weirdest, why would that thought pop in my head at that moment? You know, but it's just sometimes it creeps through. Clear your
and
mind.
You're like, yes,
like,
right.
Why am I thinking about that?
Yes.
Stop that.
McDonald's.
And that's why I never made it to the NFL.
I really wanted to show you that play, but I can't see it. Okay.
So
the producer is in my ear saying.
Placed it in. It's already happened.
Great. They're going to place it in.
It already happened.
And you're saying I'm correct there, right? Pete in the back? They're
saying. Yeah, Pete says
you're
usually not right about a lot.
Thank you, Peter. Thank
you.
So nice to have you producing the pod. Thank you.
Cool. Yeah, so he's a little distracted. Year two won't be as distracted. Maybe.
Hopefully not.
We'll see.
Hopefully not.
Nick Rizzo, 86. This is a battle royale. Rank their athleticism and who wins in a battle royale. Lefko, Florio, Burmeister, me, and Liam.
Oh, my God.
So you got...
Battle royale?
Battle royale, athleticism. I guess we're fighting.
I guess you're fighting is right. Gosh.
I guess we're
rank their athleticism and who wins in a battle royale. Okay.
So those are two different rankings,
yes,
maybe.
Right. All right. So athleticism.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Pauly B. 1.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to make you 2.
Okay.
Yeah, you're a better athlete than Florio and my ex-podcast guy, Lefko, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Okay.
Throw Liam in there, too, because Liam's, I think, a pretty good athlete.
Yeah, okay. So, yes. All right. So, yes, I would throw Liam. I'm going to go, okay, Pauly Burmeister,
yeah,
you.
Okay.
I think I'll go with Liam, Florio, then Lefko.
Okay.
Right.
Lefko's last.
It's a close one between him and the old man, Florio, but I'm going to give Florio the advantage.
Have you ever seen Mike do anything athletic?
Yes, a little bit. I taught him how to throw the football better at the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Wasn't bad. I don't know about the movement yet. I'm not sure about that. Looks a little gangly and uncoordinated.
I've never seen him run.
Yeah.
Although I've never seen a lot of people run. I don't think... But
right.
I've
never seen you run either.
That's true.
I have no idea. Now, Battle Royale.
I still think it's Paul.
Be Paul 1. This is where I think Florio can be scary.
Yes.
He's a snarky, mean mother effer.
He's mean.
He would hit below the belt and do things and win in a Battle Royale. And he's smart upon that as well.
He would dig deep and get some real anger, and he would cause some harm to
Right.
us. Yes.
I would maybe put my guy Lefko in third of that. I know you don't know him.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of body mass there.
There's a lot
of cushion. And he can take some blows, and he might just be able to maul some people with sheer size, right?
And then it's me and Liam hiding in the corner.
And I think you win over Liam. Liam has his strengths in life, but battle royales are not one of them, I don't think.
We're shaking. We're shaking in our boots over there. I think that's pretty accurate.
Okay, good.
We should do like a 40-yard dash or something with all the hosts and former hosts.
That would be good.
See who can win. Punt, pass, and kick.
I like your chances in a race for sure.
I think I could do it. Although I haven't full out sprinted probably in 15 years. I can't think the last time I went as hard as I could.
Really?
I did a jog.
You go for jogs.
I do a jog.
I'm the opposite. I all out sprint and I never jog.
That's
what I do. Yes, okay. I know.
That's cool. I like that. So we'll get that up on the website where you had me number 2 in athleticism. I like that. JNick30. Do you ever wish you were Chris Hostetler? Chris Hostetler. Do you ever wish that?
As Jeff Hostetler, my dad's old backup quarterback and the quarterback who won Super Bowl 25. No, I do not. I am very happy to be Christopher David Sims. Thank you. But, man, Jeff Hostetler was
always... How old do you know him?
Yeah, he was always great to me. I mean, couldn't have been a better guy to me. Even when him and my dad were going through the quarterback competition in 1991.
Did they get along?
Yeah, they did. And they always... And he always treated me well when he was in the locker room and went out of his way. And I've even heard stories of like him, you know, he was really concerned when I lost my spleen. I heard he had called people in the NFL, like checking up on me and all that. Have I ever told you my Hostetler story, the cleats? I haven't told you that. Well, for those... So Jeff Hostetler, when he was competing with my dad in the offseason one time, my dad had to go down and get some rehab or something like that. And I'm in the it's offseason. Nobody's there, right? Except for the trainers and my dad. And I'm like, it's after school, I bring my homework. I'm really laying on the floor of the locker room doing my homework and nobody's around. And I start to have some bad thoughts. I go, man, Jeff Hostetler's stealing my dad's job. I'm gonna do something to Jeff Hostetler's stuff. Okay? And so I'd heard my dad talk about players doing this before, so I said, okay, I'm going to do this. And what did I do? I got a bottle of shaving cream, and I filled his cleats with shaving cream.
Oh, no.
I know. Thinking, I was like, I'm getting them. So, yes, I've told this story before publicly. This is not the first time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, one of those moments where I thought I was being a good son, loyal to my dad at 11.
How old were you?
I was like 11. Yeah, yeah.
And what happened? Then what did...
I don't know what happened. I'm guessing he thought somebody else did it to him as a practical joke. It's not like I was there.
You told your dad you did it ever?
I did. I told him, but not like directly after. I don't know if I told him like...
20 years later?
Or like maybe a few days later or a few weeks later. Something like that. I can't remember exactly what I told him.
I'm always curious what that's like for NFL players or pro players in any sport. Because you hear it a lot of times, oh, they draft this guy at your position. Are you mentoring him? Are you helping him? I'm like, that's really kind of an awkward situation because it's really weird to mentor the guy who's trying to get your job and take your money.
It's more professional at the professional level, where in college, high school, I feel like it was more cutthroat competition. Like, no, I'm not going to teach him anything. Screw him.
Okay.
Let him screw up. The NFL, I don't feel like that's the attitude. I never did. And I can't tell you how many actually young players came up to me, even in my career, to go, it's not as cutthroat as I was expecting. I thought, like, it was going to be so competitive that, like, the starter was going to be like, fuck you, back up. And, like, we're going to go at it today in practice. And we're, no, I really think you get to the NFL, one, you're confident in your abilities. You have this secureness about you that way. And you really realize it's about you, right? You always hear that. Yeah. You know, hey, I can't worry about what you're going to do. I just got to be the best me. And see if I can capitalize on being the best version of me. And then if I am the best version of me, let's hope everything takes care of itself from there. And I think that's more the approach in the NFL than people might think.
Maybe players can see it a little bit more. They can be honest with the evaluating and assessment of
themselves. Well, definitely. Right. Yeah. So, you know, you're a year nine player, let's just say. And you go, yeah, I'm getting up there. I know it. And then they draft some, you know, young guy. Yeah, you know he's there to steal your job and take your job.
You're going to work hard.
You're still going to work hard and do everything you got to do to be your best B. But you're also, like, realistic enough to go, hey, this kid's a good kid. He's working hard here, too. Yeah. I'm not going to just, like, you know, screw him over because he's taking my job.
And if they think he's better, then they think he's better.
Exactly right. It's not up to me. I'm doing all I can do. Exactly right. And I think that's just more of the approach in the NFL.
Matt Caden, 44. What professional sports would you want your kids to play? So I guess what sports would you want your kids to play? I guess professional.
Yeah.
You know, if they made it that far.
Yeah. I want my little boy to be a baseball player. I mean, I tell them that right now. Just play baseball.
Why?
You know, it's I love football, and I already can tell he wants to play football more than anything. But
you're not going to let him play football?
I am. I'm going to let. He wants to play this year. This is like he's going into third grade. He wants to play tackle football this year. And
do they have that for
third
grade?
They do, yeah. Third and fourth starts, and then, yeah.
Wow.
I know, right? I know. Yes. I know. I mean, it looks like, you know, the pads, I don't even know how they'll fit them, really. But, yeah, I mean, just, you know, again, football is awesome. You know I love football. I live it. I do, you know, I'm obsessed with it. But, gosh, baseball.
Your wife is okay. I mean,
she's okay with it. Yeah, she's
married
okay.
Married into a football family.
Yes, so. Right. She's scared, but she always goes, oh, this is your department. And you know, if you think he can play, then he'll play, whatever. And she just kind of goes along with it. But, yeah, baseball, I just look at it and go, gosh, it's, you know, great money. You can have a real long career. Obviously, it's tough to make it. It's going to be tough to make it in any of them. I'm not disrespecting any sport that way.
Yeah.
And also, you know, like we talk about a lot, baseball, you can control your own power, too. You can be on a shit team in baseball and still be considered, oh, this is one of the best players in the sport.
Yeah.
And football, as you've heard me say many a times, you could be one of the best players in the sport, and the public have no idea because there's no numbers and stats to justify it or the wins to justify it either.
You get dragged down
because it's the ultimate team sport. And, of course, there's the physical nature and the safety and all that, too. So, yeah, I look at that as a father and go, gosh, I hope he plays baseball, but it doesn't seem like it's going that way.
Yeah. And your daughter?
My daughter wants nothing to do with sports. It's just, she wants to be a farmer and ride horses.
Oh, really?
It's all she cares about.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like
that's cool.
That's achievable. Maybe.
It is. Yeah, it is. It definitely is.
DecalsVO2. If you couldn't work in the sports realm, what would your dream career be? So you're not in, you were never a football player, you're just, you've got a different career path entirely. What is it?
I always thought growing up it would be Wall Street something, but I don't think it would be. I think I would be doing something either with animals or environment-wise. I mean, that's just where my passions are, I feel like. Something, whether it's, you know, helping the earth, the environment, how we can live better or change some of the bad things we have in our culture that are hurting the earth. I would want to do something like that or something along those lines with animals, too. I'm just, I kind of have passions for them. I'm a huge animal lover, have a lot of animals that we own as is. But,
yeah
we try to want to do that, you know, the endangered species or things like that, try to protect them or spread knowledge about it or, you know, tell the stupid rich white poachers of our country to stop going out to Africa to kill animals that there's only 1,000 left so you could take a selfie and that's the only reason for it. And you play God and think that's cool. Yeah, that's the shit I'd like to stop.
Yeah, put on a cape and you would you'd protect some
things out there. Yes.
What animals do you have right now?
I have 2 dogs, 4 chickens, and 4 cats.
You have 4 chickens?
4 chickens.
Has your family always had chickens?
Always has had chickens. Yes, we have. This is a
when your dad was playing football. You guys had chickens?
This is all new. This is a Chris Sims family.
Chris Sims family.
Yes, this is a new.
This is what you've brought.
This is what my family. Yes, this is what we do.
In Kentucky, your dad growing up, did they have?
Oh yeah, they had chickens. Okay. So we should do that with my dad.
So he lost the chicken rearing when he went to New Jersey to play football.
No doubt. I mean, we should ask my dad some farm stuff. I mean, some of his farm stuff and his mom ripping the heads off the chicken for dinner and doing things like that because she would do it with her bare hands. I told you about Grandma Sims, right? Grandma Sims could have played middle linebacker in the NFL. Like, she was a beast.
Yeah.
I mean, she was like 5'11", square shoulders, man hands. She was pretty in the face, okay? But that's where I got my size, and that's where my dad got his size from. She was like a big Irish, you know, farmhand that way. But he's got a lot of good stories about Grandma Sims doing stuff like that.
She couldn't play football. She was too busy taking heads off of chickens.
She was, right, yes.
What do you do with the chickens? What do you use them for?
We have, eggs. Eggs and I don't eat eggs. Now, the rest of my family does. Yeah, I'm not an egg guy, okay? But, yeah, eggs, give them to, you know, family members, do things like that. That's really the big thing.
Chickens, if I was to have one right here, it freaked me out a little bit.
Like they're actually...
Any bird really freaks me out. Chickens really
freak
me out.
They're cooler than you think. They're a little bit more personable than you think.
Really?
Yeah, they can get used to people. And, you know, I go up to them and, like, touch them and pet them, and they're cool. Like, yeah, they're a little bit more social than you think.
Really?
And we let them free range. Like, these ones we have right now are young.
Okay.
But when they get to adults, we let them free range. And they'll eat anything. I mean, like, whatever you don't eat for your dinner...
You can throw it
in the yard to the chickens, and they will go to town on it.
I do like that.
Yes.
Because as a new dad, I hate leaving food uneaten.
Right? Isn't that the worst? It bothers me, too. It's a pet peeve.
I gained, like, 20 pounds because of it.
Because you're, like, you're feeling guilty, and you're like, let me finish it off.
Absolutely. We made you that. You ate none of it. I'm gonna eat it.
Yeah.
Do the chickens get to come inside ever, or no?
No. Negative, Ghost Rider. I'm a clean freak. I'm not letting freaking chickens in my house.
Wouldn't even think you'd have chickens, but okay. All right. That's interesting. We learned something in our AMA. How about Matthew Cole Webb? Sims, I'm going to every NFL stadium for my bucket list. How cool is that?
That is amazing.
So far, I've made it to the Saints, Packers, Titans, Dolphins, and Jags. What is the most badass, funnest stadium you've played in? I'm trying to figure out where I should go next. Thanks, man. Keep up the good work. Love the pod.
Okay, so he said what? Saints, Packers, Jags?
New Orleans, Green Bay, Nashville, Miami, and Jacksonville.
Yeah, good ones, certainly. I mean, first one I'll throw out there is the Seattle Seahawks.
Oh.
Okay? To me, it's a great setting. It is the loudest stadium in football for my money. The way the setting is, you know, set there at the bottom of the city, you can see the skyline of the city when you're on the field. It's just cool. And it's like a modern, cool-looking stadium to go along with it. So that would be up there towards the list. Man, hey, dude, get a ticket and go see the New England Patriots in New England. That's a special thing, too. He didn't say New England, right?
He did not.
No, I mean, I think, you know, right now with Belichick and Brady there, like, yeah, come on, that's about to be, like, you know, Lambeau Field Part 2. We're going to be talking about that in history, going, this is where Brady and Belichick played. This is a special stadium.
Yeah.
And the Boston fans and New England fans are amazing. And it is a great home field advantage there. And, of course, their fans are cocky, but still it's worth the price of admission to me. And it's a great Patriot place. What Mr. Kraft has set up, not only the stadium is amazing, but, you know, the strip mall he has that's connected to the stadium and all that. It's really a cool setting, I think. So that would be up there
for
me.
Soldier Field. There's so many good ones.
There is. I love Soldier Field,
though.
I do. I haven't been to Jerry's World.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know. I can't speak to that, okay?
They're almost, I would say, pretty much every NFL stadium has its own cool things. They're just cool monuments to the sport of football. And they're different styles. They're old, like Soldier Field. Even Ford Field, I've been there. That's a newer.
It's cool, though.
It's cool.
Yeah, I like
it,
too.
You got brick everywhere.
Right.
Which ones are just the lamest? Because I feel like in Santa Clara, the 49ers' new one, doesn't have a whole lot of personality.
No,
Levi's
you're right.
Stadium. It's big. And
it's nice and clean and new. But you're right. It doesn't seem like it's got a culture to it yet or anything.
MetLife.
MetLife. I agree. Listen, you know me. I'm a Giants fan all the way. None of my Giants friends like MetLife. None of them. All of them are always like, oh, the old Giants stadium was way better. I think that's been received as kind of a dud up here in the New York area. Not that it's like horrible stadium, but it's right. just nothing special. I think the Denver Broncos, okay, their stadium,
yeah.
Mile High there, and good. I know it's something else now. I can't think of it. Yes, that's a great fan base. It's again, the setting is the mountains, like right yeah. in the background. So that's pretty cool.
Houston, Reliant.
I yeah,
think that's a cool
it's
one.
A big, awesome indoor facility. Yes, it is. And it's grass field that's with the retractable roof. It's pretty good. Pittsburgh is up there, definitely.
Not a whole lot of personality.
Minnesota's new stadium is off the chain. And I really got to say Philadelphia because everybody needs to experience Philadelphia Eagles fans once in their life.
Yeah.
That's a special group. There's a reason there's a courthouse down in the basement.
Yeah.
Because they are. They're crazy in a good way, but they support their
team. They want to be angry.
Yeah.
They normally, they want to be angry. They want in the first quarter some things to go wrong so they have a reason to be angry.
Right, right. But the Jacksonville Stadium, eh. I don't know. I mean,
did
I
you talk about
him.
Tampa? Did you talk about Tampa?
Tampa Stadium is pretty cool.
Yeah,
it is. I mean, I wouldn't the put ship, it towards man. The top, but the ship's cool. I mean, just bring your sunblock because you're going to melt. Okay. The Raiders, that stadium stinks. If it yeah. weren't the aura of the black hole and their yeah. cool fan base, yeah. I mean, the stadium itself, if you walk in, you just go, well, this is a crap hole.
The thing that sucks with that stadium is that they built up upper decks
yeah.
when the Raiders got there,
right.
which totally ruined the baseball stadium because it was a really good view there
yes.
of Oakland. And so it. But you built the Mount Davis, they called it, and then it blocked out that view. And
right.
the Raiders at times weren't even
sold. Don't even use
out.
It. I know. I was going to say, yeah.
They ruined it.
Yeah,
that. But yeah. they don't have to worry
well,
about it.
Well, they're moving
too. The A's are moving too. They're building the one in downtown Oakland
are they?
As well.
Yeah, that's cool. Good for them.
Willis Terasex says, what's the best way to hold the ball to throw it if you have regular size hands?
Okay.
Where should the ring finger go? So yeah, you got those.
Oh, I got the ball here
you
too.
Got the regular size hands.
Regular size hands. Okay.
I mean, how should you hold the football?
There's no exact science to how you should hold it. The first thing is just hold it to where you feel comfortable. Okay. And I don't want you to be comfortable and like then you have no hands on the laces or something like that.
Yeah.
That's not going to work for if you're trying to get some results. I am a 2-5 guy. Okay. Man, I need to cut my nails. I am a 2-5 guy. So that's how I grip the football for anybody out there. The ring finger there with my ring on it goes in the 2 slot, right?
Okay.
So there's my 2. And then here's my 5, right? So that's how I grip it. I would suggest for anybody with normal size hands to just go up one ranking for everybody. Go either to the first slot, 1 and 4,
mm-hmm.
or maybe even 1 and 3, depending on okay. that normal size hand. But I would tell most people that would be the way to do it. 1 and 4, you certainly can do it. That's kind of how Tom Brady holds the ball, and John Elway threw the ball like that a little bit at one point of his career, too. So you could do that if you have a normal size hand, like we're saying, or some what is really in vogue right now with some of the new quarterbacks is to have it on 1 and then have the pinky finger underneath the lace a little bit, like underneath 4.
Yeah.
Which I don't understand how anybody throws like that, but that's a little bit like how Kyler Murray and some of these new quarterbacks with smaller hands are gripping the football. And, man, the results speak for themselves. They can spin it and throw it still. But
yeah.
I would say that would be my suggestion. Small hands, average size hands, work your way up towards the smaller part of the ball. It'll give you a better chance of throwing it with control and accuracy and, you know, with power.
And you switch it up every once in a while, right? You
I had tinkered with it in my career. I was normally a 2-5 guy, but I went through some periods where I felt like I was 1-4. Okay, and I felt like I even went through a period, this was a short one, where I went 3-6 and really grabbed the fat part of the football. And I felt like I had great control, but not necessarily all the power I wanted. That's how Brett Favre grabbed it, 3-6, and that's really rare. But Brett Favre's hands were gigantic.
Giant hands.
Giant hands. And I have giant hands.
This is how I did it. Back when I did it. You say it was a bad way to do it.
Well, more times than not, quarterbacks do not put their middle fingers on the lace, right? This finger.
I don't know why I did that.
Yeah, well, I don't know either, but it felt comfortable to you. But when you do that, how does that feel?
It feels like I'm going to, if I hold it too close to the point, it feels like I'm going to push it this way and it's going to be all wobbly.
And you might not have a control of the grip and strong
I'm
enough grip.
Yeah, I'm going to push it back.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, well, spread your hands out. Try to do do a 2-4. See if you can do that. Nope. Like there and there. How does that feel to you when you do that?
Terrible.
Terrible.
Yeah, it feels weird.
Yeah.
But if you do it and if you throw with it like that enough, you'd get used to it.
Yeah.
And then it probably would have worked better for me.
Hey, comfort is the name of the game. So
Can we do some rapid fire to finish it up?
Of course. Okay. I'll be rapid because I'm so known for being rapid, I'm sure.
I think we've tried this before and it hasn't necessarily
been. I'm seriously going to be rapid.
We get good information.
I'm rapidly running out of energy, so don't worry.
Devin Morgan, 93. Can you make up another quarterback song jingle? So they like the Mahomes.
My homie, my homie, my homie.
And they like the Aaron Rodgers.
Whenever he's on, I watch. Oh, Aaron Rodgers. And I have Deshaun Watson.
Okay.
You haven't heard that. Deshaun Watson is so fucking awesome.
So maybe there's like a new one that you could develop.
I got
it. He wants another one.
Okay. I mean, I probably should think of something for like Brady maybe. Okay. I mean, I think he's justified that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as you can tell, I've gone with some of the younger guys there. Gosh, Brady could use one. Baker Mayfield should be on my list.
I think Baker Mayfield is the next
one. Okay.
But no, it's got to be someone you really
like. It's got to come organically to me.
And it has to.
And Josh Allen could be a guy, too. I just got to have it. Like, Mahomes came.
It just out of thin air.
So my buddy was like a big deal when I was growing up. And yeah, it was my homie. And I was like, I don't know. I just started humming it one day and I went with it.
And then you know what came after my buddy?
Kid Sister. Wherever she goes,
I go.
Kid Sister. Yep. Nice. I'll think of something, though. I'll have one. It just give me some. I need some time to get away from football and just be stupid in my brain for a few weeks.
Yeah.
And I'll come up with something stupid.
Kid Vanilla Sky 1. Did you button your shirts to the top when in Tampa during the 95 degrees and 1,000% humidity?
No, not always.
No.
Definitely
every
not.
Once in a while.
Is too harsh. And during that time period, I don't think I top buttoned a lot other than maybe when I was wearing like a golf shirt or something like that.
You didn't fully embrace it yet. You wanted to, but it just wasn't accepted.
Well, I had embraced it before that, and then I think I was at an age there in college in my young years where, you know, I wanted to be cool, and the peer pressure, I was probably like, I can't wear a top button, even though I kind of wanted to. But
you had to conform.
I had to conform, and then I finally got back to my ways.
Big Rome's.
Holy shit, it was hot there.
Big Rome's 916. Favorite beer? Are you a beer drinker?
I would say, I'm not a beer drinker. Landshark.
Okay.
You ever heard of that? The Jimmy Buffett? I mean, it's light and easy. And then another one that I do like when I see it, Stella. I don't even know.
Stella Artois.
Is that how you say it? Artois?
Matt LeVlet.
Those are two that, like, if I see them at a party or something like that, and I know I'm not going hard liquor, I'll grab them.
That's all I want. I want something to go down smooth.
Yeah,
I'm not
right.
A big IPA. And
I'm not either. I'm not a huge beer drinker
want it to
in
hurt
general.
And taste weird and
no.
Taste like
you just
want
to get to the
like
point.
A pine cone. I think those are weird.
Refresh me and give me a little buzz, please.
Brian Huff.
Yeah.
If you can have only one for the rest of your life, what do you choose, fork or a spoon?
Oh, fork or a spoon?
Yeah.
I'm going spoon.
Wow.
I'm going spoon.
Well, you had soup today for lunch.
Yes, right. I mean, the
is
only
that
time.
That why? You don't want to give up soup?
No, I just feel like the spoon will be used more useful. I mean, it might be tough in some situations, certainly, but at the end of the day, you'll be able to, like, you're not going to drink get much soup at all with a fork.
Yeah.
Now,
I think you're
when
wrong.
You eat steak,
it might
be weird with a spoon, but you can still scoop it up
work.
In there. It could work. You're going to have to cut it into pieces maybe first.
I think it's a fork for me.
You think
it's a fork? I don't need enough liquidy type foods to justify, like even macaroni and cheese, which you could have a, it could
it's
be creamy.
It's a spoon food.
No.
All the way for me.
You can work it as a
I do rice
fork.
And beans every day, like usually, and I do a spoon with it.
Can do that.
I know.
Work.
Yeah, but so you're right. So okay,
I didn't know that about you. I didn't know you were a spoon person.
I guess I am a spoon person. I just found that out about you. I didn't know you were a fork person.
Along the same lines, El Marco Live says, "Is cereal soup?"
I would say no. But I do eat cereal. I have my Bran Flakes. Have you seen me in the morning walk around here with Bran Flakes cereal?
No, yeah, I'm not
I walk
in early
around.
Enough. No,
yeah,
you're in too early for me.
Yes, so I walk around with Bran Flakes cereal when I get done with PFT. That and my Orgain protein shake usually. But no, cereal is a cereal. I don't think it's a soup.
I don't think anyone's ever considered it a soup. Although now it could become the debate like a hot dog is a sandwich or not.
Right. Well, good thing I got a spoon though, either way, because the soup or the cereal, I'm good to go.
Can we do two more?
Yeah.
Okay,
we can do
more.
10 more.
Kugel, we only have two more.
All right.
Sims, I know you're a big beans, not beef proponent.
Yep.
What is your typical Chipotle order?
Okay.
You got me to give the veggie bowl a try.
Yeah.
It was still incredibly bomb. So he liked it.
Good.
She liked it.
That is, I am a veggie bowl guy. I'm a veggie three-pointer,
What's
really.
The veggie bowl?
The veggie, you know, you go to Chipotle and you ask for a bowl to go, right? And they
yep.
just kind of give you that, you know.
The tin on top.
The tin on top yeah. of the reused recyclable paper or whatever.
Right.
I usually get three scoops of white rice, a big scoop of black beans, and grilled vegetables on top. That's yeah. usually my go-to lunch.
The fajita vegetables.
Yes, the fajita
Which
vegetables.
You have to tell them that you want that because they won't ask you. Do you notice that?
Well, they'll skip over
it.
The rice, if you ask for, like, you know, like, can I have extra rice? They act like it's their rice patties in the back sometimes. And I'm like, relax. Like, I'll pay for it.
Yeah.
I'm starving. Uh-huh. And I'm not going to eat the meat over there. So fill me up with some rice. And I have to say that a lot of the times. Like, I'll pay extra. Just give me more.
So your order then is the white rice or
white? I go white rice. Yes, I've been going white rice. Yeah. I was brown rice for a long time. I switched to white with black beans. Grilled vegetables.
And grilled vegetables. And that's it.
Nothing else.
Cheese. Guac.
Nope. Nothing. Okay. Maybe a little hot. You know, a little their spicy sauce.
That's good.
Every now and then.
Yeah.
But that's it. Yeah. Yeah, I like this guy.
And
beans, not beef.
Chips and guac at the end of it or
no? No, usually not. I usually, you know, if you fill that thing up with enough rice and beans, I mean, that's good
it's
to
filling.
Go. You're fine.
Good.
It's all you need. Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Last one, and this one comes from at Chris Dims. You have a parody account, Chris.
That's when you know you're making it in the world. When people take time to make a parody account, you're either doing something good or you're pissing somebody off. One of the two. That's
probably both. Both.
Right.
How many average-sized 12-year-olds could you take in a fight? You have no weapons. They have no weapons. Just fists, Chris. You don't have to kill. Just incapacitate.
Good. I don't like to kill 12-year-olds.
FYI, the average weight is 88 pounds of a 12-year-old. So how many could you take in a fight? Then no weapons involved, and you just have to...
All right, so they're 88 pounds. I'm 230, roughly. I really range from about 227 to 232, given on how much food I've eaten in a week. That's kind of my range. Right. I've seen, you know, my little girl just turned 13, so I'm very familiar with what 12-year-old boys look like. They have no muscle or thickness to them at this point. They are
wiry. They're more
wiry.
Yeah.
And even when I've, like, messed around with those kind of, like, you know, pushed against them, I'm like, man, it's like nothing there. It's like paper. So... let's see. I mean, this is not a proud statement to say how many 12-year-olds I could beat the crap out of and knock out.
The funny thing is that right now in this exercise, you have to picture it.
I do. I'm actually thinking, like, damn, I would crush that kid's face with one shot. I feel like I like my chances with really anything 8 and under. I feel like I'm okay. 8 or less. Is that crazy? I feel like I could, like, if 8 12-year-olds came at me, I feel like I could eliminate 2 of them before we even get going. Like, I'm just going to throw the right and the left and be like, okay, it's down to 6.
What if it's a coordinated effort and all 8 of them?
Game plan.
Attack your junk immediately.
That could be an issue, too. You're right. Those are some fighting words, though. They're going to come for my junk, and then I'm going to come for their junk, too.
So 8.
I don't know, that might be high. Maybe 6, maybe 5. Am I wrong?
What if my number's 0? What if I couldn't? What if he took me?
No, your number's not 0.
Could get 2, maybe.
I could tell you that.
That was fun.
How much do you weigh?
We got some 185 right now.
How much do you bench?
Like 110, I think. Maybe 105.
Okay.
That was it. That was Ask Me Anything.
All right, we did it.
That was good. I learned some more about you.
Cool.
I like doing these because I can learn about you.
I know. Well, we still haven't gotten to hang out. We're hanging out in this month, though.
Deal.
I got time off. Done. We're going to get together. I'm going to pollute your brain with lots of stuff.
I wish you could have taken me to Tahoe, but that's okay.
Sorry. We don't have time for you there. Sorry. Can't do it.
Cool. So we got a Tahoe trip coming up.
On
some unusual podcasts, some just different podcasts with maybe some guests. Maybe Aaron Rodgers will be there. We do want to give a shout out to PFT. 10-year anniversary.
Seriously.
The marriage of NBC and Pro Football Talk and Mike Florio. That's
pretty special. I want to give a shout out there. I mean, that's Mike Florio, first of all, is amazing. And Pro Football Talk, what he created is really, it's a special website. It's the one and only. I mean, and for me, and I know a lot of people in the NFL, even whether they like or dislike Mike Florio, they like Pro Football Talk a lot. It was an unbelievable invention of him, and it gives you just great knowledge of everything that's going on around the NFL. So kudos to Mike and PFT and NBC.
And he's been able to navigate in a landscape that has changed a lot in the last 5 years, and to be able to build a brand like that and continue it and grow a brand in a time when competition's really high. I give you guys and Mike a lot of credit for that. So that has been around for 10 years, and what's coming up new is the Peter King podcast. We got a special guest coming up on July 17th for Peter King's podcast joining.
They wouldn't even tell us, but it's special apparently, so that's going to be cool. PFT Live, this will be, we're on a sabbatical, but we'll restart there July 29th, you know, right there is the start of training camp, so we have stuff to talk about. And then Mike's got his PFT PM podcast too. Everybody's got to tune in and watch that. Hey, Mike's as smart as they get in football and diving in deep into certain subjects. He will break them down and make you think about things you never thought of.
But not that athletic, though. We don't know.
We just
don't know.
No, definitely not. I know. He's not that athletic.
Chris, awesome.
You the man.
As always.
Peace. Everybody have a good July 4th. See ya.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.